But before we start, why don't you take a look at your hands? Yeah, look at them. Just take a look at your hands. It's interesting when you plan to preach using hands as an illustration, how you notice the idiosyncrasies of people's hands. Some rough, some petite, some knuckly, some tattooed. They tell a story, your hands. And I know you don't have a chance now to look around at everyone's hands, but I've got a few illustrations just to show you what I mean. Put the first one up here. Take a look at these. Now, look at those. Now, these have no captions, but I look at that and I think, I see a wedding ring sticking out there, and I think, you know, maybe your husband has passed on many years ago and still, you know, she belongs to him. Who knows what that story is, but you look at the hands and it tells a story. Maybe that's a daughter or a palliative nurse, who knows? Next one. So we've had three weddings and a funeral this week, just like in the movies. And so when I look at those hands, I can't help but think of, you know, maybe she's in the prime of her life, preparing for her big day, creaming her hands, ready to put a ring on the finger. Next one. Sure, I can't look at that photo without thinking of Pretoria. My wife and I are ministering with the youth in 3CR. And that for me is just a silent cry of kids for their parents. Just don't give up. Don't let go. Next one. Whew, you don't want that one in Pretoria. Hey? Tattooed, rugged, black, beautiful fingers. But not quite touching. Stigma. Story. Next one. Not an old man's hands. Young man's hands. That one did come with a caption. I got it off the BBC website. It's an Olympic rower. And him and his team rode around the Arctic Circle, and that's what his hands look like afterwards. I show that to my kids whenever they take too long in the bath. But our hands tell stories. These hands, put a ring on those fingers, that lady's finger, 19 years and 19 days ago, give or take a few minutes. Hey, babes. These hands have flown an aeroplane. These hands have climbed the Eiffel Tower, carrying a pram that we hardly use, but we took it just in case. Hashtag therapy. Yeah. These hands have bribed tons of T-bones and have lovingly raised an Olympic-sized pool filled with coffee to these lips over the years. These hands have opened the Bible. Morning by morning, these hands have baptized my kids. These hands have baptized some of your kids. These hands have flicked through channels. And these hands got me provincial colors in cage fighting. I love the fact that no one laughed. Got me provincial colors, believe it or not, in pole vaulting. Yeah, true story. I bet you never knew. The thing about our hands is the same hands that heal are the hands that hurt. You know, the same hands that give out hope are the hands that reject. The same hands that hang on to that little microphone on WhatsApp and send that lovey-dovey message in the middle of the night are the same hands that punch out that, you're just like your mother, WhatsApp message on the same phone, right? I mean, the same hands that stand at the back of the door there on a beautiful Sunday morning, greeting warmly on a Sunday, might be the hands that are rejecting family coldly on a Monday. Because our hands go through things. What have your hands been up to this year? What have your hands been through this year? Maybe your hands typed out that resignation because you got your dream job and finally you could say goodbye to that job and you can move on to greener pastures. Maybe those hands clicked on that website and you said, I will never do that again. And you did it again and again. Maybe your hands filled out those forms at the abortion clinic this year. Maybe your hands welcomed in a newborn child. Or maybe your hands opened up that envelope and inside was a letter for divorce. I don't know what your 2017 looks like and I don't know what your hands have been through, but I want to remind you of God's hands today. You see, because 2017 And your self-conscience and your shame and guilt will want to remind you about your hands, what your hands have been up to and what your hands have been through. But I'm here today to remind you about our Heavenly Father's hands. I can think of no better hands to leave you with in these last few days of 2017 and into the bright, hopeful possibilities of 2018 than the hands of God. And I want to look at His hands that provide, His hands that heal, and His hands that restore. His hands that provide, His hands that heal, and His hands that restore. So starting off with God's hands that provide, we had a fascinating experience this year leading the youth in 3CR. We had a bunch of matrics take the reins in the last few weeks of the term, sharing their journey. And one of them, Dylan, got up and he showed two pictures that it just got behind all my defenses. So I thought I'd use the ammo on you as well this morning. But he showed us two pictures. The first one, you can pop it up here, and he said, now this is our journey through life. There's life's highway. But this is the journey through life from God's perspective, he said. And then he said, this next one is the journey through life from our perspective. Poof. And when I looked at that, I thought, oh, that is so true. You see, because when we're on that road from our perspective, the minute you hit those mountains, you start taking things in your own hands, right? When your marriage comes face to face with this precipice, I mean, you can't even see the top and you don't know how you're going to get, you start grabbing on and start pointing and throwing mud. And I looked at that and I realized, you know, that is why so many of us get ourselves into so much trouble, is because in the moment like that, we try to take things in our own hands. But take a look at what Psalm 81 says. It says, if my people would only listen to me, if Israel would only follow in my ways, how quickly I would subdue their enemies, and look at that, and turn my hand against their foes. The picture is of a father who comes and grabs their child and does this to the enemy. Hey, steps into Dee's room, grabs her, and bashes open that door. That's what he's saying. He's saying, okay, you're facing that mountain, but if only you draw near to me, if only you put that mountain in my hands, take a look at what the next verse says. He said, I would feed you with the finest wheat, and look at that, I would satisfy you with honey from the rock. See, this is the God that we serve, and we quickly forget it. I was reading through Exodus. We're busy prepping for a series on Exodus next year. And in Exodus 22, you can take a look for yourself. There's an occasion where God deals with this interpersonal relationships, and he uses this illustration. He says, so if someone uses their coat as a pledge, he says, you must give that coat back to them before sunset. And then he goes on to say, because for many of us, it's the only thing we have to cover ourselves in the night. So in other words, in the ancient Near East, they used to use their coats as like a duvet. You know, the evening comes and they'd go to bed and they'd grab their coats and they'd use it. So God says, okay, if he uses his coat and pledge, give it back to him at sunset because it's the only thing he has to cover. And he says, but if you don't, he says, I'm going to get involved. He says, because when he cries out, I will hear his cry. And it says, because I am a compassionate God. Now think about that for a moment. God is involved in whether you have a duvet or not. It's the verse I use towards my wife whenever she steals my duvet. God's on my side. Sorry for you, babe. But think of it just for a second. God cares about a man who goes without a duvet, right? He says, I will get involved if he doesn't have his coat because I'm compassionate. How much more will this God get involved with a single mom who's facing the financial pressure of the end of the year festive season and cries out to God? How much more the businessman who has to downsize and doesn't know who to let go and who to keep? How much more a marriage that's taking strain? How much more when that mountain is as big as can be between your heart and the heart of your teenage children? And God says, I will take that rock and satisfy you with honey from that. It's like, I'll just go like that. The problem is, we take it in our own hands. So the Bible says, if my people would only listen to me, Psalm 81, if Israel would only follow in my ways, how quickly I would subdue their enemies. How quickly I would subdue their enemies. I wonder how much of 2017 you and I have walked through because we've tried to carry that mountain in our own hands. And God said, like that, I want to restore and I want to deliver. I would feed you with the finest of wheat and I would satisfy you with honey from the rock. Who here needs satisfying? Feeling empty. The year has trounced all over you. God is saying to you this morning, we're going to take a time of ministry a little bit later, because God wants to satisfy you with honey from that very rock. He wants to take that mountain that stands slap bang in the middle of your road, and he wants to turn it into a delightful, satisfying honey to your lips. This is his promise. See, but the enemy and your conscience and your past wants you to look at your hands. But our Heavenly Father this morning wants you to look at his hands. His hands that provide, his hands that heal, and his hands that restore. I want to tell you about his hands that heal. About 8-10 months ago, we had our usual Tuesday night prayer meeting at 3CR. And I don't know if you've come to one of those. You're more than welcome. We have it regularly on Tuesday evenings. And 300-400 people come together. And we just felt for one specific evening that we were going to not entertain the needs of the 300-400, but we were going to pour our prayers over one lady specifically, Marika Waterston. She was struggling with cancer, and things had gotten out of hand very quickly to the point where the doctors had gone from saying, well, this needs chemo, to this might leave you with a couple more days to live. So we stepped in, and we trusted God, and we prayed. And my wife came to me because she was a friend of Marika, and she was saying, you know, God had given Marika this one verse coming out of Exodus as well, and it's where the angel of death passes over because the blood of Jesus is on her life. And I thought, okay, but this is serious. Yeah, I mean, that's lovely, but shouldn't we maybe be preparing the family for the worst? Because, I mean, you know, the diagnosis is looking horrible. So we did all that we needed to do, and that was to pray. And we got together, and we poured our hearts out before God. And at the end of this year, in our last prayer meeting of the year, we just spent some time going through the year and recapping big moments. And Marika brought something, and she put it on the screen. I want to put it on the screen for you as well. Take a look at this picture. Top left says Marika Waterston and her ID number, and that goes from 8, which is pretty much nothing. And that top number, you might not be able to see it, is 105. And there or thereabouts is where the saints of 3CR brought Marika Waterston before God. And the next time her cancer count was taken, it had plunged, where she's in the clear. Now, I've heard of things like this, but never before have I seen something as clear and as God-glorifying, as undeniable as that little picture. Because our God is a God who heals. And we forget it. I forget it. Should be my occupation to remind you of his hands that heal. But life happens. Things get on our hands. And you know, the reality is that each and every one of us need to be reminded of this God that heals. There's an account in Mark chapter 5, where Jesus is called by Jairus. His daughter is sick. Similar accounts, given days. And so they call Jesus, but before he gets there, another servant comes and says, sorry, it's too late. Sorry for you, but she's already passed away. But Jesus presses on, goes in past people who are laughing at him. It's like, what do you think you're going to do? But take a look at what it says here. I love the way it starts. It says, Jesus took her by the hand and said to her, little girl, get up. Immediately she stood up and walked around. At this, they were completely astonished. See, I believe that the God that we serve wants to leave us completely astonished. I have to say, when we saw that scan, I was completely astonished. Because I forget that God is able to draw honey from a mountain. And he's able to draw healing from the midst of cancer. And you and I need to be reminded that God is able to heal. Because each and every one of us struggle from some form of cancer. There might be cancer in your marriage. And you're looking at it like that massive mountain, and you're thinking, well, you know, I'm at 145. There's no coming back from that. But God is saying, put it in my hands. And watch me heal your marriage. It might be your past. I specifically referenced signing at the abortion clinic because I believe that there's someone here who has done just that. And you look at your hands and you can barely take them out of your pockets to raise them to Jesus because of what your hands have done. And God is saying, I want to heal you. I want to take that shame. I want to take the blood off your hands and put it on the hands of my son, nail it to the cross and leave it there so that you can be completely amazed at how I draw honey from the rock. It might be your relationship with a father, your dad. Had an interesting experience not too long ago. Working in radio, we decided just to get a, before Father's Day, just a couple, we call them Vox Pops, you know, quick interview. So I went around after a prayer meeting, leaders prayer meeting at 3CR, popped the microphone in their face and said, tell me about your father. And I wanted to just get that first phrase and then include it in a promotion on radio. And it was like I was putting a spider in the front of ladies' faces. They would reek, my father, what do you want? What do you want? Who? My, leave me alone. I saw husbands dive in front of, like, what are you doing? Brokenness, a cancer in the relationship between daughters, sons, and their fathers. God is the God who heals. And he does so where she immediately gets up. And he does so leaving you completely amazed. What is it that you carry? What cancer do you carry? What shame is it on your heart? What blemish is there in 2017 that you're thinking, man, I don't know if God can do this. He says, to you, I will leave you completely amazed. Because our God provides, our God heals, and our God restores. I want to show you two portions of Scripture on the hands of God. The first one comes from Isaiah 65. It will be up on the screen. It says, I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. You know, maybe you've given up. Maybe you think, well, I've gone, you know, do not pass, begin, do not collect 200. There's no way I can make right with God now. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, here am I. Here am I. All day long, I've held out my hands to an obstinate people. I had to look that one up. It means stubbornly refusing to change one's chosen course of action. Hey, all day long, I've held out my hands to those who stubbornly refuse to change their course of action. You know, maybe 2017 started so well, and then one thing led to another, and then you and her crossed that line, and there was no coming back. And then you felt so much shame and guilt and disappointment and anger. But then you got to a point where, you know what? What's the point of trying? I can't make God happy anymore. I'm giving up. Stubbornly refusing to change one's chosen course of action. Who walk in ways that lead to death, pursuing their own imaginations. Look at this. A people who continually provoke me to my face. To these, to you and I, God says, here am I. Here am I. He holds out his hands all day long. You know the picture that I get? And this might clang with, you know, a little bit of your theology. The picture I get is of Shrek and Donkey. Who's coming with me? Pick me! Pick me! Pick me! That'll do, Donkey. That'll do. Think of it. This is Almighty God, El Elyon, God Most High. And he's not standing. You see, Pretoria will tell you, he stands and he goes like, mm-hmm. And you're going, pick me, please. And mm-hmm, no. That's what Pretoria will tell you. But Scripture will tell you it's the other way around. He humbles himself before you and I, and he says to you, in spite of your obstinate 2017, in spite of you provoking me to my very face, he says, just pick me. Just pick me again. I stand with my hands out all day long. There's nothing you've done. There's nowhere you've been. There's no blood on your hands that will stop him from asking you to pick him. And maybe you did that. Maybe you did that a while ago. Maybe you've never done that. But maybe you have. Maybe you walked with God and then life happened. Maybe, like Dee, you start to think, well, maybe God has forgotten me, or maybe he's forsaken me. I don't know. His hands speak to you as well. Take a look at this. This is from Isaiah 49. But D, you might say, and many of you here might say, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she's born? Though she might forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. I was sharing this with Jeff. He made two profound comments. He said, you know, we only put the most important things on our hands. I've actually got a friend, Et, who's tattooed three little squares on his hand because he's like that. He knows if he's going to remember anything, it has to be on his hand. And he's always writing. So he thought, well, that would be pretty cool. He's created that way. But you only put the most important things there, you know, on your hands. And what does God say? He says, I've written you, I've engraved you on the palm of my hands. The other thing Jeff said was, it's interesting to see what God engraves. It doesn't say, I've engraved your sin on my hand. I've engraved your journey back to me. The 17 things you need to do before I'll allow you into my presence. He says, I have engraved on my hands you. So when I see my hands, I see you. Because I'm captivated by you. I want to put these hands around you. I want to restore my relationship with you. And these very hands were nailed to the cross to pay for everything necessary so that he could have your hand, your name on his hand. Those who provoke me, those who walk obstinately. God says, it's not a matter of what you've done. It's a matter of what I've done. And I've paid for it. And my hands are extended to you. And so as we wrap up 2017, I'm going to call the band up. I want to tell you one last account of the hands of Jesus and the hands of man. And this one really hits me hard because it's an account of a man with a shriveled hand. I don't know if you know the account, but plainly put, Jesus was preaching in a synagogue on a Sunday just like today, preaching about the heart of his heavenly Father just like today, preaching of his benevolence and his love and his pursuit of us just like today. And while he was preaching, he saw a man with a shriveled hand. I don't know if anyone has a shriveled hand here this morning. I do. I've got a shriveled hand. You won't know unless I do that. If I do that, you'll see I can't quite straighten this hand. See that? That's already sore. Riding a mountain bike, getting into the sport, rode a cheap bike without suspension, and after 50 kilometers of doing this, I climbed off my bike, and something had broken. Something was wrong. I couldn't even turn the ignition in my car. And the thing with this is that no one will know. You can't see it. I'm the only one that feels the pain. I'm the only one that inconveniences. But it hurts when I shake hands. It hurts when I clap during praise and worship. It hurts when I start the car. I can't pick up weights. The heaviest thing I can really carry is a laptop, pretty much. It hurts when my children jump up and I want to lift them up and play in the pool. It hurts when I sleep. It hurts when I brush my teeth and brush my hair. It hurts when I eat. Can't eat sushi because I just can't do that last, you know, I can't do anymore. So it's like, yeah. And the thing about a shriveled hand, think about our hands, no one knows but you, but it impacts and influences absolutely everything you do, whether you raise your hands or not, whether you open scripture or not. Whether you go on that website again because, well, I've done it so many times, or not. Whether you push away family or not. But you know what Jesus says to the man with the shriveled hand? He just says, stretch it out to me. And it says, you can look it up at home in Matthew 12, it says, he stretched it out and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. So I want to pray for us. So you wrap up 2017 and you stand with a shriveled hand in some form of fashion. shame or guilt will pass upon your hands, decisions that you've made, things that you've done, and you've lost hope to raise it up to our Heavenly Father anymore. I want to just simply ask you, would you have the faith to stretch out your hand to God? It might be just that you're facing that mountain and you need God to provide. It might be that you need healing in some form or fashion. It might be physical. It might be emotional. Or lastly, you just might need God to restore this relationship and you don't know where to start. God says, just stretch out your hand. So can we close our eyes? Wherever you are, if you want me to pray, or if you want God to touch you, just stretch out your hand. It can be up straight. It can be on your lap. Father, my hands are stretched out to you. They are shriveled in more ways than one. But Father, you laid this promise on my heart during this week that when we stretch out our hands, that you would restore, completely restore. So Father, I bring you every hand that is raised. Each of us might be carrying dozens of reasons why we raise our hands, because of what we've been through, or what our hands have done, or what we've had to endure. Maybe our hands have even pushed you away. But Lord, we want to stretch out our hands in faith, and we want to ask, Lord God, would you do a miracle in our midst? Would you leave us completely astonished because of the way that you have delivered us and healed us and restored us? Satisfy us with honey from this rock that has crushed our hands, this rock that has decimated our hope, this rock that has shown up our frailties, our insecurities, our arrogance, our pride, our sin. Satisfy us with honey from this rock. I pray for hands here, Lord, that are covered in guilt and shame, that you would come, as Anthea sang, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood. And so we stretch out our hands to you, Jesus, because you took our sin, you took our shame. And we ask, mighty God, would you do it again? Would you heal? Would you restore? Would you provide? I ask this in your magnificent, powerful, mighty hands, as I entrust your people, Lord Jesus, into your hands, both our past, our present, and our future. Come, Holy Spirit, seal this work. May we be completely astonished and glorify you as we watch your magnificent work in our lives unfold before us. In Jesus' name.